Hello and welcome.
Oops,
your culture's showing. We're here today to talk about culture to you and hopefully to make it pretty interesting. My name's Tom Peterson and I'm the host, and I'm sitting here with Dean Foster. Hi, Dean.
Good morning, Tom.
And what are we doing with this culture stuff? I mean, it sounds really dry.
You know, here you and I, here we are. Just think about what you even did this morning, which is like the most...
What did I do this morning?
It's what you didn't do.
I think you're personally attacking me here.
I noticed that you did not shave this morning.
I did not shave this morning. And I did not... And why is that culture? I don't get that.
It is. There's a cultural piece to that.
Yeah.
Culture is in everything. Everything we do, everything that people do to and with us
okay.
has a cultural piece.
Okay. So you sound sort of like you know what you're talking about. You've done this before?
For about 30 years.
Oh.
About 100 and plus countries.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most Fortune 500 companies.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A few books.
So you dabble?
Then. Yeah, I dabble.
Yeah, okay.
But
right.
I'm very lucky because I'm dabbling in something that's really, really fun. I had the perfect job.
Well, if you dabble in it, you clean it up, all right?
Hopefully I don't make a mess.
Probably we've already made a mess, but that's not going to stop us. We're going to keep right on with it anyhow. So
I'm thinking you didn't shave in this. A whole cultural discussion around that.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. I'm not real concerned about being attractive to you, so I'm not... I didn't worry about it a whole lot when I got up and looked in the mirror this morning and said, "Do I need to, do I need to really go through the whole shaving routine for Dean?"
You just brought me so far down. I'm so disappointed.
I brought you down.
My
goal is not to bring you down, but my goal is to be honest and straightforward.
I would expect that if we're going to get together and do something here, I mean, you'd have a little respect. And
then we got a real big problem if I have to have respect.
Shave, you know.
But I don't need to shave. I didn't need to
All
shave.
Right, the truth is, I didn't shave this morning either.
Well, see, there you go. There you go. Now, listen.
Because I didn't want to look good for you.
And by the way, the laughter that you're hearing that isn't either one of us is our producer, Torin.
Hello.
Hello, Torin.
Hello.
He's brilliant. He's always there. He's always jumping in with wonderful pieces of information.
No, it's a matter of respect, right?
It is?
Yeah, and if I really respected you, I would have shaved this morning.
There you go. Now it's out. You see? Okay. Fair enough. However, there are places on the planet, groups of people on the planet, who shaving becomes some sort of ritual, right? I mean, or am I just making this stuff up?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, the facial hair fashions of the day are kind of rituals, right?
Okay, yeah.
Isn't it interesting, like today?
I'll be the judge of that, but go ahead.
Men can wear facial hair like it's required now on TV. You know, every commentator's got some level of like hip facial hair.
Yeah,
right?
Like partial growth.
Yeah, and some groups of people, like facial hair has incredible meaning and significance, even religious significance, right?
Yeah, so, well, sure. Name three.
Right? I mean, Orthodox Jews.
Okay.
The men. I'm talking about the men.
Okay.
And also many Muslim sects.
By the way, you're walking by yourself through Williamsburg the next time, okay?
The men are wearing long beards, and it has religious significance, right?
Okay.
So facial hair tells a lot. You know what else?
No, like, I don't.
Head coverings. Have you noticed? The coverings of the hair on the top of the head.
You mean not like a hat, but like hair.
Hair, you can have hair covering hair. Yes,
I'm guessing that hair on many parts of the body means something throughout the world.
I think, yeah. And whether you shave it or not,
yeah,
it has a social and cultural significance.
So we're starting off with our lead-in subject here for today is hair on the body. What does that mean?
Or not.
Or not. Mm-hmm. Or not. Absolutely. So, okay.
I mean, there could be practical purposes. Like, I understand bikers, and I'm not a real biker, but yeah. I understand bikers. Men.
Are we talking vroom vroom biker? Are we talking biker?
Yeah, no, the
peddling.
Physical peddling bikers.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The competitive bikers, they shave the hair from their legs because it's supposed to speed them up.
Ah, swimmers do that too.
All right, see?
There you go.
Yeah.
So is that a culture?
Well, no. Okay. It's not a cultural thing at all.
But you hear that term.
It's a practical thing.
You hear that term, though. I mean, you hear like the culture of, you know, in the swimming culture,
right,
and the, in
right.
the biking culture. So is that inappropriate or is that just kind of loose use of the terminology?
I do think it's appropriate.
Okay. We've gone over to terminology now, which actually makes it even more boring. I think we've actually managed to get to that level.
Well, you used the word. I didn't.
Well, I'll climb out of the dust.
I'm trying
now,
hard
and
here.
We'll try. Let's go look at people's bodies and see what that's doing. bodies around the world, hair or no?
I think it's fascinating that in some cultures you actually have hair replacing hair.
Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about.
And I don't quite understand the background, so I say this respectfully, but Orthodox Jewish women shave their hair when they get married.
Okay.
But to go out in public, they wear a wig, which is a very interesting phenomenon.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I understand the reason for it, because out in public, you want to look like the rest of the people on the street.
Uh-huh.
And if you have...
You don't want to draw attention to yourself.
That you shaved your hair. Right?
Sure. Okay.
So you're putting hair on top of hair that isn't there that would be there.
There's a cultural/religious aspect to the shaving of the
hair. There's a religious piece to the cultural behavior, yes.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. That's kind of interesting. Right. Yeah. Now, shaving hair off the body is not like, it's not new. And it's done in many different parts of the world. And in fact...
And many different parts of the body, too.
In many different parts of the body, which is I'm kind of going to, actually. that's go ahead. If you choose to have your imagination run wild, please feel free. Speaking of running wild, some of the hair that hair is removed. In the United States, at least the younger culture... doesn't look at the hairy bodies as being a positive thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting to see these trends, right?
Yeah.
There were times where facial hair on men was like something you didn't have in the 1950s.
Well, the whole business thing was you couldn't have facial hair. They didn't
shaven.
Trust you. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And then it became fashionable. Now it's very fashionable.
Well, also in the 60s, in the counterculture, it was almost a mandatory thing. If you could grow hair on your face at all, you were growing hair on your face.
Well, hence the name of the show, you know, the Broadway show.
Yes, also long hair
and
off
the celebration
top of, the head.
Of long hair on men. It wasn't a feminine look at all.
No, but
it
women also had long hair statement. At that time. So they were, and other things, but we will just kind of slide right on by that. Okay. But they also in that time period, and I realize we're talking 50 years ago, but in that time period in the United States, that there was no big deal. In fact, there was actually a masculinity to the idea of body hair on men.
And the peacock phenomenon, right? That in, that in the natural world, the male of the species is usually the one that's
typically the
gaudy and dressed
bigger
up.
Bigger plumage, and,
right,
yes.
Right, right.
My plumage is bigger than your plumage.
So. Well, that's the idea.
Yeah.
It is. It's like, well, the female, you know, peacock is looking around and she's saying, he's got bigger plumage than the other guy. That's what I want.
Now, but you take other cultures, other parts of the world where actually...
I'm sorry. I said female peacock? That's like an oxymoron. What do they call? Peahens.
Peahens.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Because that's our expertise, both of us.
We're biological naturalists. Yeah. Right. Of course.
And in other parts of the world, the body hair, facial hair, it's just not as prevalent because of who they are. I mean, the genetic background. But in some ways it's there, but you don't get the big Paul Bunyan type of growth on the face in men in other parts of the world.
Well, that's just, I mean, I think that's different biological aspects of ethnicity. That's,
right. But my question then is, so is a culture going to say this is preferred because that's the biological reason behind it, and therefore it becomes preferred, or is it just being preferred because it's preferred? Or do I have no idea what I'm saying?
So when you shave... Do you shave in front of a mirror in the bathroom?
Yes.
Okay. By the way, I'm not answering your question because...
I noticed that.
Yes. So I remember one time I was thinking in those moments in your life where you think like, it doesn't really matter what I do, right? Because nobody's noticing me anyway.
Right, right.
So I'm going to shave like just half my face.
Yeah.
On one side. And leave it. And then I'm going to shave where my mustache should be, just the other side.
Right.
And then I'm going to shave one eyebrow.
Okay.
Right. And I'm going to leave the other eyebrow.
Okay.
And then you have a choice. And this is probably why I never did this. Although I've thought about it in those moments in my life, looking back, where I felt like it didn't matter what I did. Stepping out of the house, nobody's going to notice anyway. So, but here's the dilemma I had.
That way, wait, there's a dilemma that goes on top of this?
I remember this. I can recall this.
Okay.
The dilemma was, do I shave all one side so that it's symmetrical, so that my eyebrow and my half mustache and my half beard is all on one side and the other side isn't?
So you have symmetry in the asymmetry.
Or...
okay. There's more.
Do I go from side to side? Like, leave the right eyebrow, but then take off the right mustache and leave the left...
Alternating sides.
Right?
Yeah.
And because I had that decision, guess what I did?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that would have been weird. I'm taking that as the only culture that actually exists in is Johnny Depp in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Does he do that?
Well, he does freakish stuff. So and it's a very small culture. It's a petri dish culture, I believe. Anyway, okay.
But now,
well, that's interesting.
Now here's a cultural
thing.
Thank
you for sharing the time in your life when you were heavy into drugs.
I don't recall what the motivation was.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say that that's what the motivation was.
Okay, well, fair enough. You don't have to say anything about it. I've already thrown you under the bus on that, I think.
So I would say this sounds like a good time for a break. We'll be right back. Got any questions for us? Well, if you do, there's a couple of ways to get hold of us. First of all, on email, our email address is oopscultureshow@gmail.com. And our handle on Twitter is oopscultureshow. Pretty clever, huh? So talk to us.
We're in the bathroom. We're shaving. We're in front of a mirror.
Bathrooms around the world are different. Let's talk about that. They are. Because there's a real cultural piece in that.
Okay. Are there bathrooms around the world that do not traditionally have mirrors in them?
Now, the whole thing about a mirror is interesting.
God, he's not going to answer. He's just going to go his own direction.
But I'm not going to say you don't have mirrors in the bathroom, because I think that's where you need a mirror, right?
That's kind of where I'm going.
No matter what you're doing, right?
If you're going to be doing these kind of things, if I'm taking a very sharp instrument and I'm bringing it up to my face and neck,
or elsewhere.
Or especially elsewhere. Why isn't it just called elsewhere? Okay, now, some people it's elsewhere, and some people it may not be elsewhere.
Some people it's nowhere.
And if you understand that, you're more in need of help than I am.
But let's look at the mirror thing.
Go ahead. Do your mirror thing.
Now, mirrors can reflect... in Chinese culture, for example, you want to place mirrors carefully because they can reflect bad forces away and they can attract good forces in. For example, you know, if you're going into a Cantonese restaurant as opposed to, let's say, a Sichuan restaurant or a Mandarin restaurant, you have different cuisines of China. If you walk down the street in a Chinese neighborhood, you'll know if you can expect Cantonese food if you see a mirror on the back wall of the Chinese restaurant.
Okay.
Associated with that often is a tank of water or live fish in a tank of water up at the front of the entrance of the restaurant.
And
the reason for this is because in southern China, Canton region, where Cantonese food is, there's a traditional belief that there are good forces and bad forces. That's pretty ubiquitous throughout all of Chinese culture.
Yeah.
But that the good forces can be attracted into the restaurant by water, and the bad forces can be deflected out by a mirror.
Okay.
So you put the mirror at the back of the restaurant so it pushes all the bad forces out. And you put the tank of water in the front to attract all the good forces in. Good luck. Good fortune.
I've seen this.
That's right. So if you walk past a restaurant and you see that kind of architectural arrangement, chances are it's going to be a Cantonese menu.
Is this feng shui?
This is related to feng shui.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And we should, you know, mention to the listeners, feng shui is this ancient Chinese belief that there are forces, good and evil, out there, and that the placement of objects, not just mirrors, but the placement of objects.
I think plants and the fish tank that you were talking about, water,
right,
things like that.
Right. Yep. Will either attract or deflect.
Right.
So where you place something is very important. We always tell, for example, Western business people when they go to China, if you're invited into somebody's office and you see a lovely jade object on the desk, you don't pick it up and admire it and then put it back down.
Right.
Because you may have put it back down in such a way where it's different from the way it was placed. And the way it was originally placed was very thoughtful.
Uh-huh.
And it was done according to feng shui practices.
Oh,
so you may have just deflected all that person's good fortune out the out the proverbial window.
If you're trying to do business with this person in some form, that it's probably not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
Or even just personal relationship with the person, they're probably not happy about that.
No.
Okay. Then, well, that would be a pretty good reason to know that. Yeah. I would say, yeah.
Or at the very least, you know what kind of menu to expect when you walk into the Absolutely. Chinese restaurant.
A large one. Okay, that's good. Now, if the mirror is on the back wall of an Italian restaurant, what does that tell us? They're serving Cantonese food.
I don't think it's an issue. You know, I don't think there's a cultural piece to that. They may have just enjoyed the fact that they wanted a mirror up there.
Okay, there you go.
It doesn't have the cultural significance that it has in China.
Somehow we got out of the bathroom and into the Italian
restaurant. Somehow we did.
But if they probably have a bathroom, so let's go back in.
You know, and if you do that in the bathroom at the Chinese restaurant, it doesn't matter how you do it, right? It's kind of a Western, and if you're Western, you're familiar with it. But just look at the difference. For example, if you went into a Japanese bathroom, it would be a whole other.
Now, are you talking about one in a residence, or are you talking about one in a at a business?
I think in a residence.
Okay.
Probably you'd see this more frequently. It's not that you wouldn't see it elsewhere as well.
Okay. Yeah. So the Japanese, because I have a certain familiarity with the Japanese toilet, and it's different.
You do?
I do.
Do you have one at home?
Well, it was a long night. There was a lot of sake. It was in the United States, we think of the Japanese as very Western in their, I know we're really wrong with that, but what we think of them in a Western way. So our first not being
that's there, oops, your culture showing.
Oops,
right
your culture
there.
Showing. Absolutely. It's if going there and you go in to use a toilet, you may encounter what would be something far beyond what we would have here.
You have to know how to manage this nuclear device.
Yes,
with all these big buttons and noise making machines.
I believe it's actually equipped to defend you in court if you need it to.
You just press the attorney button.
That's right.
Right.
And which one? But it heats. It heats itself.
It heats your bottom.
Yeah.
It makes noises to cover up the noises that are
you
often
might be making
associated with bathroom use.
Yes.
It has deodorizers of different aromas that you can press the buttons for. What else does it do? It shoots up water. It's like the Bellagio waterworks in Vegas.
I think it actually has a slot machine involved also.
It's got synchronized fountains coming up at different times in different directions.
I think, and I'm already feeling very good about that.
You're having a great time.
It's why people just don't ever come out.
You
want to
stay in
bathroom.
There, after the fountain show, you're expecting, you know, the
comedian to come out. It's warm. It's like this is great, and yet it the interesting thing to me too is that it's so culturally specific to Japan. Overall, it hasn't spread
Well, I saw one. I actually used one where you could choose the music that you wanted.
Yeah, okay.
To cover the sound.
Oh, I've heard that too. Yeah, in a wide range.
Well, then you had a whole choice.
Yeah.
I mean, there was
iTunes.
There was classical. there was Asian pop.
What are you doing? So what am I about to do? Well, is you're going to choose based on that?
So the first criteria that I had was, how long am I going to be in here?
Well, depends. Did you stop for the Cantonese food before you came there?
It immediately reduced my choices because Beethoven's Fifth was out. I'm not going to...
I think the 1812 Overture would be a good one, mainly with the cannons on.
If I'd had the choice,
do have a choice.
I would have gone straight to the end of the 1812.
Yeah, right at the end.
Go straight to the end with the cannons and be out of there.
Or the bells. The bells might help too. Bells.
Do you know that when Tchaikovsky wrote that, he actually wrote in the
score. He
was on
the toilet at the time.
Maybe he was. Or standing in the middle of the river in Moscow. Yeah, I think in the score, he actually says that there should be bells being rung by cherubs from the heavens.
Is that right?
Yeah, so you couldn't pay anybody in the musicians' union.
Nobody.
Yeah, but you had to pay the cherubs.
How can you get cherubs in the... There's no cherubs in the union, not the last time I looked. Well, somebody has to get cherubed to work, you know? I mean, come on.
I skipped the 1812, and I think I chose, given the fact that I wasn't planning to be in there for a very long time.
I see, yes.
I think I chose some interesting Asian pop.
I
figured I was in Japan.
Kind of get that name for it goes along with the entire experience, I would say. Asian pop. Right. Yep. When I would be hoping Inagata DeVita was in there, actually.
How long you didn't
Well, there you go.
Wasn't that the longest popular song ever?
May be longer now, but it was 22 minutes. How long was it, Torin? How long was Inagata DeVita?
I will take a look.
Not the Simpsons version.
Or how long have you been in the garden? Vita's garden.
They just pulled the plug on those guys anyhow. They were pretty stoned when they recorded that. So there you go. So anyhow, I'm still in the bathroom in Japan.
All right.
Okay, I'm seeing 17 minutes. A little over 17 minutes.
17 minutes. Okay, I thought it was longer than that, but all right.
Well, depending on... the Cantonese food you had the night before.
You might have to run it up again. Yeah, you might have to go with a second version of that.
Press the button again.
Looping Inagata DeVita is not pretty. Not at all. Okay.
But now everybody wants to buy a Japanese toilet,
by the way. Let's take a break. While listening to this, you may think, hey, you know, I wonder... Well, if you have a question like that and want to ask us, there's a couple ways you can do it. One would be through email, which is oopsculture show@gmail.com. That's oopsculture show@gmail.com. And then there's also our handle on Twitter, which is oopsculture show. That's oopsculture show. I know, it's not original, but it works, okay?
Everyone wants to buy a Japanese toilet now.
Well, I would.
And
you can. That's the thing. I can't imagine, because we're just beginning with Japanese bathrooms. The toilet aspect of it is just the beginning.
We were renovating one of our bathrooms a few years ago, and I toyed with the idea of just...
of going Japanese.
So I went online.
Culture,
no, I didn't want a Japanese culture bathroom.
Well,
I just wanted a Japanese
them?
Toilet. Because it was fun.
Picking a fight here or what?
So I went online
okay.
to see, and you could, you know, you can get them no matter where. You don't have to be in Japan.
Right.
Relative to a Western toilet, they're very expensive, but fair enough. They have all these bells and whistles that are just
sure.
so much fun.
I just would think on anything from like middle top end up, you would start seeing so many more of them, and I don't know that that's happening in this country, in the United States. I think it may be in other parts of the world it is, but I don't see it happening in the United
States. And you would think it should because
it sounds great.
Yeah, right. There's another thing, and there are probably so many aspects of Japanese culture that I wonder, you know, you would have expected them to have caught on elsewhere.
Yeah.
But they didn't, you know, like the hot towel that you get at the beginning of the meal, of a Japanese meal.
Oh, right. Sure.
It is a wonderful, wonderful thing, right?
Yeah.
It soothes you. You get this hot towel. You can pat your, you know, wash off your hands. It's clean. You can't guarantee that everybody who walks into your restaurant is going to use the bathroom to clean their hands.
Right.
Many people don't. I mean, I live in New York City. If I take the subway somewhere, the first thing I do after I get out of a subway is use a hand sanitizer or wash my hands. But maybe not everybody does, right? So the hot towel comes and it's wonderful. It just soothes you. It cleans you. Why didn't that catch on everywhere else? Wouldn't you love that if you walked into a French restaurant to sit down and get a nice hot towel?
Like that. Yeah. I would, you know, absolutely. I think.
And a shave.
And a body shave, perhaps. Yeah. Well, in the right French restaurant, I think that would work well.
Or an Italian restaurant.
We probably shouldn't do that. So we started to talk about this, but what I don't understand is I don't see how the, especially the Western world, which would seem, meaning the United States, but Canada and Australia through
Western Europe.
I don't know why they haven't leapt to the Japanese bathroom style. It seems to me to be, I mean, and maybe in some little ways they have, in some few little pockets.
It is available, and I'm sure people buy it.
But why hasn't it been like, this is great?
Why hasn't it replaced the current toilet?
Like, why can't I go to Home Depot and just order my Japanese style toilet with all the bells and whistles? I know you can get one that has certain things that will work with it, but mainly they're all special orders, and I just don't think it's happening. And to me, it would sound like it should be ubiquitous. I mean, why wouldn't you want to do this?
Yeah, you know, I think there's lots of reasons, right?
Okay.
But I also think there's a cultural reason.
Yeah.
Economics, it costs a whole lot more. These contraptions are just more expensive.
Sure.
Right? So it's only going to appeal to a certain group who can actually afford it.
Yeah, but then there's the supply and demand thing. So the more the people want it, the cheaper it'll be. But yeah, there's still going to be a certain part of that. Right. Yeah.
But ahead. I think the cultural piece to this
is
that we don't want to hang out in the bathroom. I think it's a Puritan thing. I think, you know, we just want to get in there, do our business, and get out.
We're not all Puritan influenced. I mean, I know the country as a whole is. I get that.
Yeah.
But I mean, because we've got the parts of the country that are much, much warmer and come from.
I think bathroom manufacturers struggle with this problem all the time because they really want to make a bathroom so that, you know, you want to hang out in there.
Right.
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 And so there's always new features.
But this doesn't seem to fit.
We don't find our pleasure in the bathroom. We find our pleasure.
Sure, we don't.
Well, then there's a whole lot of other contraptions that we need to create.
I've got a feeling the Japanese understand this too.
Maybe they've come up with a new version.
I'm gonna think that's possible. Yeah. The thing, you know, the first thing that struck me was, well, okay, but what do? We run into a bathroom. Usually we're late wherever we're going, whether it's out recreationally or business or work. We're probably running a little bit late. We want to get in there. We want to get whatever we have to do done, get out of there, and move on.
Right.
But that would only work if it was coming from an agriculturally driven country.
See, I don't think that's totally it either, because the Japanese, you know, you live in Tokyo, you're living a modern rushed life too.
It's a very rushed life. So that doesn't work.
No.
So we're still going, huh? I mean, I get the puritanical side, sure.
You can use...
But we'll ditch puritanical for this is really cool in a heartbeat. I mean, that's what's made Silicon Valley. And, And there's a lot of stock and money to be made in that whole industry. So this would seem like, and it also with the continuing progress of technology, obviously the Japanese are on the cutting edge of that also.
Maybe we're completely...
This thing can only get better.
Maybe we're completely wrong. Maybe you and I have been so isolated that we haven't
noticed...
I think you
want to speak for yourself here first.
That we haven't noticed that everybody's...
Oh, it's happening?
It's happening. It's happening.
Well, I don't know. Is it happening?
Well, I don't know. What do you and I know?
Well, I don't know. You're the cultural expert.
I don't think it's happening.
Well, I don't think it's happening either there. It's not happening then. I think we're pretty safe. I think we're pretty safe to say that it is not happening on any large or medium scale. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, ask the same question, like, how come saunas haven't, you know, become ubiquitous as the way they are, let's say, in Finland or in the Baltics?
Or you get into the Scandinavian countries and things like that. I mean, people love one. We've adopted the like a whirlpool bath.
That, very much so. The
sells.
Hot tub.
Not everybody has it, but I've got one.
The hot tub is
and
a big,
hot tub. Hot,
right.
Uh-huh. Though, so that part of our society, we're like, okay. And so we're immediately saying, because see, what does that do? I've got a whirlpool tub in one of my bathrooms.
Look, nobody wants to play music.
And well, but they do. They bring their iPhone in and they play music and they listen
Here's
to,
the difference.
Guess what? Podcast.
Here's the difference.
So, here's the difference. And I'm guessing that somebody right now could be sitting in a whirlpool tub in their bathroom listening to this podcast right now.
Right.
And so why isn't it just structured for them to be able to go in? And in a world where, what are they pushing at us? Artificial intelligence.
So the Japanese culture is very, as many Asian cultures are, very concerned about the group, about others,
right,
about my individual activities impact on others. So in a public bathroom where there are lots of others,
yeah,
what I do on the toilet has to be carefully controlled so
right.
that it doesn't impact the others.
Okay.
So we have music, we have aromas, we have all sorts of things, right? But what we do privately in our house,
yeah,
we're not concerned about others.
Well, but
and
I mean,
think that's the reason it hasn't caught on the way other other bathroom pleasure devices like,
but
like
I'll
whirlpools
buy,
have caught on.
But they'll sell who knows how many cans of air freshener that sit in people's bathrooms. So clearly
there's some concern.
We are concerned about what we're going to leave behind.
But not to the degree that we're going to play the ET12 overture.
But I do think people are concerned.
Because
about
if I
that.
Was sitting next to a bathroom stall where I suddenly heard the cannons and the bells
well,
of the 18-12 overture.
So you know what's going on.
I'd
perhaps.
Be more freaked out. I'd be less comfortable. I wouldn't be more comfortable. I'd try to get out of there so fast.
Well, what are you doing in there? When I'd be afraid my music would clash with someone else's. Well, look, there's the courtesy flush, right? I mean, that's something that some people are nice enough to use, which does a couple of things. I mean, it can cover other sounds and at the same time move the progress of the whole process along at a more rapid pace so that the results of the process don't impact other people too
much.
There's
concern, you know, for the other, sure, but not to the degree in the West that it is in Asia.
I just think
I just think fundamentally from a cultural perspective, that's the reason why this hasn't caught on the way it has caught on.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. As we know from the highest levels of this country, people do a lot of things on their phone while they're sitting in the bathroom. in the morning or
whatever.
Weren't
you amazed the first time you walked into a public restroom and, you know, from a guy's perspective, standing at the urinal and there's another guy next to you
yes.
and he's on the phone talking to somebody?
Yes.
Like, what?
Right.
What?
I was more concerned when they were FaceTiming.
No, actually, that would make more sense.
wait a minute. What bathrooms are you going into? Hold on here. Not that it bothered me, because I was perfectly fine. I was perfectly fine. But it was... Yeah. That is strange. Yep. So strange that it's probably time to take one last break. Okay, listen. The way to get hold of us is oopsculture show@gmail.com. And our Twitter handle is oopsculture show. Whether this is the first episode or the third episode or whatever episode that you've listened to, if you're still listening at this point, I think you might like this. And if you do, you should really subscribe. Because if you subscribe, these things will just show up for you and you can listen to them whenever you want to. That's the best way to go, really, honestly. I know what I'm talking about. All right, so just subscribe through iTunes or through wherever you get your podcasts from. But do it today, okay? Subscribe. Thank you. What I'm getting to also with the iPhone or the or whatever cellular phone you're using, when people are dragging them into the bathroom, they're providing music, people are checking email, they are tweeting, they are Instagram.
We need facilities. We need all sorts of things. And if, so how come that hasn't caught?
It would seem
it's
to be
just too much. It's over the top.
I just think though that we would. How could you not want? If you're living in an area like we're in the northeast of the northeastern United
See,
States.
I think if you could, if there was a, if you could plug your phone into the, maybe there are new versions of Japanese toilets.
You don't even need to plug them in. They could be wireless.
Or maybe there are new versions of Japanese toilets now that accommodate.
I think
technology.
There's, well, you know, we do have the things coming along that, and it all seems to be going this way because there's the things happening with the home that you can access from
Siri.
Anywhere.
We have a Siri. We can call Siri on our Japanese toilet.
We can talk to the toilet.
Siri.
It'd be the whole new twist on Dr. Doolittle. It'd be Dr. Do a lot more, actually.
Not do little. Do more.
But seriously, it's a cold winter's day, and I go into the bathroom
and
because I have to do
all of these
that,
things you can do.
And I can, not only that, but I can, at the very least, I have a preset temperature on the toilet seat that I can sit down and it can make me feel wonderful.
You're gonna want to stay. It could be the warmest part
goodness,
in the house.
It might be. It absolutely might be. And then, as you talked about before, we have the the fountain out in front of the Bellagio to provide us
colored
with
lights.
Just an amazing lights and who knows, maybe goldfish. And we have that. Also, just going now, don't you feel better? And
I think you have a business there. I think you should.
That's the amazing thing. I mean, really, when you think about it, is this just a cultural resistant? Is there some sort of economic aspect to it?
Yeah, I think it's
which
a combination.
Which takes us out of the cultural realm. But
you
still
have to add all these factors in, and there's your answer. You know,
not to say, and again, you're the cultural expert here. I'm just the pretty face. And so why is that funny? Hold on.
Look in the mirror. It's deflecting.
Wait, it's
the
a
negative.
Mirror. Where is it placed? I always thought that was the goldfish I was looking at. It turns out it's me.
The koi boy.
Never eating
there
Cantonese
he is,
again.
The koi boy. Not the boy koi. No, that's a whole other
thing.
No,
that's a boy group, I
no,
think.
No, not C-O-Y, K-O-I.
Club, I think
no.
It was.
Stay with me here. Not.
Do I have to?
Koi boy is very different from koi boy.
Koi boy George, I think, is a totally different thing.
Or there's koi boy toy also.
He's right. That's another podcast right there. Yep. We'll get to it though.
I think it's a new addition. It's a new feature on the latest Japanese toilet.
Oh, I'm thinking one way or another, the koi boy toy has already come to American bathrooms. Oh, wow. Okay. Anyway, where the hell are we? Okay, well, I don't think we've solved the problem of...
Did we have a problem? I didn't know we had a problem.
Well, not a problem. It's a curiosity. I mean, it's a curiosity. How come this thing that sounds... I mean, Torin, are you on board with this? This sounds like a really cool thing.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
The toilet in Japan I'm talking
about.
I
very much want one.
I'm sure.
I want two.
I'm not getting you one for Christmas, by the way. But that would be an interesting thing to buy someone for Christmas, wouldn't it? Here, it's a Japanese toilet.
Well, you know, maybe there's somebody's working on this, and what they're doing is they're having to think about how we adapt it culturally to American culture, okay. U.S. American culture, or to Western European culture. It is an interesting exercise. What would I have to do to a traditional Japanese toilet to retain the attractive features, but to make it more appropriate to the culture in the U.S. if I want to sell it there?
Right.
What do you think they would have to do?
Well, I don't know, because my reaction is the same as Torrance. My reaction
you
is,
want everything the way
I'll take
it is.
Two, yes, and yours. This sounds terrific. And in a world where, I mean, people are lining up for the newest telephone when it comes out, and they're lining up to get it like it's going to go bad on them if they don't get the first ones that are manufactured. And they can't get enough of these things. And all we can talk about is artificial intelligence and robots. So what do I think could do it? I think when the Japanese make the toilet come out of the room,
and make
you
it portable,
up, bring you back
make
into
portable,
the bathroom,
so that no matter, so you can keep walking around,
you can
clean the house.
Yes, it'll come and
you
just
can,
leap onto you.
You can get into your car with it. Right.
You can just take it anywhere you want to go. It's go on the go.
Go on the go.
Well,
you could drive through McDonald's
it's
with
perfect.
It.
It's so American.
Right, exactly. You
can drive through McDonald's. That's sort of the complete loop right there.
Right, yep. There. Attach it to your seat. They're going to have little clip-ons like baby seats in cars.
Yeah.
You're gonna clip the Japanese toilet clip-on in your car.
And it'll protect you when you're driving as well. Right. It comes with an airbag.
No more. As long as it's in the right spot. No more rest stops. You're in a permanent rest stop.
Or anything. You're never getting out of your car.
You're in a mobile rest stop.
It's so American. We finally made America great again,
we
I
did.
Believe.
I think,
I
we,
think
did.
We did.
Greater than ever.
Ever and ever. And how much can you tell about a Japanese culture by looking in their toilet? I mean, it's just incredible. Look, there's another aspect to it that really does reflect with us. I mean, you've got a country that is you said before, the Asian countries have been developed in culture with the idea that the group is at least as important as the individual, and in many cases
more so.
So it's vital. So you've got a group of people, and especially in Japan, which is a series of islands and isolated, and for many, many years was literally isolated from the rest of the world, and they will go along and do things and adjust and adapt to something, even though they're that much faster than they'll adapt much faster than the United States will, because we're always, you know, we're independent and individual. So our overall attitude towards things is prove it to me, show me, something like that, until we do. And then we line up for the next iPhone that they're going to overcharge me for.
Mm. Well,
not that I'm bitter.
Therefore, strap on your Japanese toilet.
Go on the go.
Clip it into your car.
Clip it on. And if they could make it fly, it would be the greatest invention of all time.
Well, yeah.
Didn't Da Vinci design one of those, a flying toilet like that?
I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he did. He's those sketches that
he
made.
He was so far ahead.
Oh,
of his,
amazing.
Man.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was.
Yeah, it was a computerized.
Somewhere in there
warm
was
your
a
buns,
sketch.
flying toilet with an airbag, I'm pretty sure, that he designed.
Yes. He had Michelangelo also, I think. If you look up at the Sistine Chapel, you'll see in the little corner there somewhere, there's a cherub with a Japanese toilet attached. Right.
There's the cherub.
Michelangelo's greatest work.
We got the cherubs back because they haven't been doing anything since then.
You're right.
It was mostly Michelangelo who was doing that.
Cherubs.
That's
right. Twice in one podcast.
How many times can you use a cherub? It's not easy. It's not easy. So well done. Well, I think the last time I heard cherubs noted was. That was kind of a seedy movie theater in a bad section of town. But
you could sit in the cherub section.
It was the cherub section when, and there were no airbags. Believe me, there was. I don't even know what that means. Oh my goodness! Well, you know what? You know what time it is. Look on your toilet. I'm sure it has a clock somewhere. So,
would you like a digital?
We can do. You can
look at the digital
timer,
clock. You
countdown.
Can look at the.
Yeah, yeah.
What's
a countdown would be interesting.
Again? We're so digital, we forget the term for non-digital. What
well, I think
again?
When you're sitting on the toilet, the term digital can mean a whole lot.
Torin? What's look it up for us, please? What you know? You have a digital clock, and you have a
analog.
We're so digital, I can't think of the term. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
The analog.
Yes, analog.
Thank
right.
Thank you.
Right, which is being able to read the hands on a clock is a lost art. That's unfortunately a lost art, I guess. Do we need it for anything?
Like the disappearing art of handwriting.
Cursive writing. Yes.
Cursive writing,
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Torin, you didn't learn cursive writing, did you, in school?
I did, but briefly. I think briefly in fifth grade.
Torrance of a younger generation.
Torrance, much younger than us. We are at least 183.
I'm 8 years old.
I think. And Torrance 8, which we want to talk to you about the puberty thing, Tor. That's strange that
you've
gone
that
through
coming
that.
Up.
Yes. It's about the voice. It's a little weird. Anyway, yeah, you're minimally cursived.
Yes.
If I can make that past tense for
cursive deficient. I don't want to make it negative,
but I think
most kids today are.
Yeah. Yeah. And so handwriting is actually deteriorated immensely.
But because we don't need it.
But here's
right?
the question. So what?
That's the reason.
Is it important?
We've given up the quill pen because so what?
Thus,
we don't
do
need
you
it.
You need an analog toilet.
Yeah.
And I'm saying no. Heat mine up, baby. All righty. On that note, I'm Tom Peterson, and I'm sitting here trying to educate you with Dean Foster, who's in theory, anyway, one of the great experts in culture around the world. Is that accurate?
Sure.
Okay, we'll go with it. And if you buy that, there's this bridge we've got. Thanks for listening, and smell ya. Just want to bother you one last time to say we're a brand new podcast here at Oops, Your Culture's Showing, and we could really use your help by subscribing to the podcast. And not to mention that if you hung around this long and you liked what you heard, well, this makes it just easier for you to get the podcast. They'll pop up for you whenever they're released, so you can listen to them on your phone or your computer or however you listen to them. And it's easy to get, too. Just subscribe using iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. It really isn't hard, and we could really use your support. So from all of us here at Oops, Your Culture's Showing, thanks.